podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast on a really exciting afternoon. Well, it's exciting now anyway. It's 7 minutes past seven because Aston Villa we're getting ready to see the Aston Villa lineup versus Manchester City in a game I'm looking forward to. Win, lose, or draw, whatever happens tonight, I'm looking forward to, because Paddy, when we think about 18 months ago, I don't know, would we've even done a team sheet tantrum for this game? Because it might have been absolutely pointless, but it just goes to show where Unai Emery has brought us, that yes, we might go out and we might not win tonight. We're down Buendia, we're down Kamara, we're down Mings, we're down Matty Cash, we're down Ollie Watkins, and I'm sure I've left out one or two people.
John McGinn.
Yeah, but there's a kind of you know, we're going there with hope in our hearts, I suppose, more so than expectation today to the Etihad, Paddy. And that's a nice way to be, I think. That's a nice way to be.
Yeah, I see somebody, I think it might have been Stato, said that 13 games since we got something at City of Manchester Stadium, which is probably the last time I was there, in about 08, 09, when we scored. Joey Barton missed a penalty, I think, that day, if memory serves me correct. It is a free hit. I don't care what anyone says, and obviously Spurs dropping 2 points last night has helped us immensely with that. So anything we get out of tonight is a bonus. I certainly won't be losing sleep if we're beaten by the better team. I might be a bit pissed off if we get beaten by Darren England, who's the referee tonight, and it's John Brooks, I think, on VAR.
John Brooks on VAR, yeah. We've a good record of Brooks. Brooks is all right.
Yeah. We'll see what it brings us. A lot of reports that they're not going to have Haaland or De Bruyne. We'll find out in a couple of minutes' time what way that's going to pan out. But look, regardless of whether they have Haaland or De Bruyne, they're going to have 11 world-class players on the pitch that we're going to have to try and beat. And let's not forget how much we mauled them at Villa Park, and we spoke about it on Monday night. I was at that game, and I think in my lifetime it was our greatest ever performance by a Villa side. We absolutely tore them asunder. And it was the most 5-0, 1-0 win I've ever experienced, if that makes sense. Never felt like we were going to lose anything that night. And what I'd give for that tonight, to increase that gap between ourselves and Spurs and ourselves and Man United and anybody else they want to bring into the equation at this stage. But it would just be nice just to leave a little bit of a buffer. Because if we got something tonight, I think it would be huge to go and get a win against Brentford at the weekend. And look, it'll put us in really good stead heading into the final furlong, let's say.
Yeah, I agree. And look, anything tonight, I think, you know, anything at all tonight to keep that 3-point buffer zone with Spurs. Because, look, I suppose realistically speaking, if we, from here on out to the end of the season, and I know Spurs have a game in hand, but if we equal Spurs' results from here out to the end of the season, apart from this game whereby they have to play Man City as well, and they lose to Man City. Let's say we get a draw today and we just equal the results between here and the end of the season. Guess who finishes 1 point ahead? And I know that's very simplistic thinking, but that's really the way we should be looking at things now. We should be looking at it, you know, equal or better Spurs results against the teams that they've left to play and the teams we've left to play. And I'm sure that's one way of doing, you know, taking each game as it comes kind of situation. And I think that's going to be Unai's mentality. There's a couple of people mentioning here in the chat that there's no Pau, no Moreno, no Bailey, or no Tielemans tonight. There's a couple of people saying no Pau in there as well tonight. I don't know. I haven't heard any. It's funny. I've heard more about the Man City lineup or what it's likely to be tonight than I have about the Aston Villa one, which is strange because there's usually lots of stuff breaks about the Aston Villa team. But But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to tonight. I really am. And I think that, you know, I think we're, no matter who we have out in the field, we can give a team any rattle. And Joe says there, we sound a bit down the dumps. That might just be because I'm wrecked tired. I'm up since about 3:15 this morning. But I'm not down in the dumps about this game. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I am as well. It's just that the rushing home to get in from work to wolf down my dinner to get on here for 7:05. I'm just glad it wasn't a quarter day kickoff because I would have missed the TMG tantrum. So, some bright spark decides to dig up the road very near to the house here. And prolonged my journey home from work, let's say. We're ready. We've got approximately 4 minutes before we see the team. I wasn't nervous at all until all these people are saying that all of to do damage. Above all else, we don't need to do damage to our either. So I'm hoping we have a decent side out. Everybody is surmising it's going to be Zaniolo and Duran. I don't think it will be. I think Morgan Rodgers will get the nod tonight with Zaniolo to come off the bench and Duran will start. That's what I reckon.
Just to share this again, guys, I shared this maybe about 4 weeks ago. Actually, it was just before. It was just after the Fulham game when we beat Fulham, and it was the United. United games in here, and I added Spurs in as well. Just wanted to show the teams in blue are teams that we both have to play. So that both teams have to play. So when I talk about bettering or equaling or bettering the results that Spurs have, the reason I mentioned that is because we can see it here that we play quite a lot of the same similar teams from this point of view. I've no idea where there's the tabulations for the points down here came from. I've messed with this so many times, putting in wins and draws. I don't know where they are. But if it finished up something like that, where we finished on 70 points, Spurs finished on 67, and United finished on 62, I'd be over the moon with it. But I don't even see me United getting 62 points the way this season has gone. 70 points, I presume, would be the barometer for us for sure. Would be absolutely great. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that Spurs still have Forest, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, and Chelsea to play. And the reason that I'm highlighting those teams are we also have those teams left to play as well. So that's an interesting one. I think we're about 1 minute away from the teams being announced. I'm with you, Paddy, as well. I think Morgan Rodgers might play. There's a lot more. I've got Twitter open here. There's a lot of people saying Pau Torres isn't starting tonight. I'm sure we will find out. Jesus Christ, 751 people in there. In 753 people in there. So Sarko is saying the team is... Oh, I can't see it there because I was trying to share. Martinez, Konza, Carlos, Longley, Dina, Luis, Tim, Zaniolo, Rogers, Diaby, Duran. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the team. I would ask questions about where Pau Torres is. And I think we might have a team here. Not yet. Not team out yet. Any moment now. Just about to tick over. I had a good laugh at this earlier on today. Andy Hilly was saying that Man City are willing to let Calvin Phillips go for 30 million. Well, isn't that very good of them? 30 million for Phillips, the way Phillips has played since he's gone on loan. No, not for me anyway. That's somebody else's money I'd be spending if that was the case. And Sarko is bang on the money. Because what we can see here is goals: Konza, Diego Carlos, Longley, Dina, Zaniolo, Timur Bunum, Douglas Luiz, Rogers, Diaby, and Duran with Gucci Gang, Olsen, Tielemans, Pau Torres, Alex Moreno, Chambers, Kessler Hayden, Bailey, and Kellyman on the bench. Going to be an interesting one. I don't hate that team. I didn't expect it. Certainly didn't expect it, but I don't hate it. I can understand why. Why Tim Eric Boonham is in there maybe to create a steadier base at the bottom of midfield. But I don't hate that team. Before Paul was there, to be honest with you. Before Paul was there, before John McGinn was there, before Kamara was there, before Watkins was there, before Bailey was there. But I don't hate that team. Mm. Let's see what happens, I think.
Yeah, look, I suppose the main talking points is that we have no Pau Torres. And we have no Bailey. They would be the obvious choices. Whether he has decided this is a game to manage Pau Torres' game time, could be the case. I'm sure we'll find out later on. You know, yeah, we've got, I think this is young Tim's first start. Would that be correct?
No, he started.
Oh, he started in Ajax. Ajax, yeah.
Started in Ajax, yeah, yeah, yeah.
First Premier League start, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And look, there's no, I don't think there's any doubt where everybody is playing in that system. And there's plenty of scope to go and change things. For me, you'd have to think that Bailey will shine from the bench. You'd have to think he would put on the carnage of what am I talking about? He's already there.
He's already on. Joanne is there already. I was wondering where that was. The carnage, the famous carnage of Omari Kellyman. Is that what you
mean? But you know what's throwing me there? The fact that Zaniolo is in the picture, and I obviously knew that Morgan Rodgers is playing. So I suppose that's the one talking point. Does he put Zaniolo or Morgan Rodgers off the right hand side if it's going to be that kind of box midfield, or is it a 4-2-3-1 with Diaby off one wing and Rodgers off the other with Zaniolo in behind Duran? So. Yeah, I just can't see that. But anyway, that's just me thinking out loud here as I'm looking at it, because I honestly wasn't expecting to see Pau Torres and Leon Bailey, arguably two of our best players, sitting on the bench. And we haven't even thought or discussed about what Man City have done. So let's see if those rumours are true.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that in a moment as well. I was joking. So AFC Stato put up and said that, I can't remember what the stat was, but I think we've 15 or 16 different players have scored for Aston Villa this season, and the record the Villa have had is 18 within the season. And I jokingly said that Robin Olsen would score against City and that young Tim would score against Brentford, and that would cap it off. So if we are looking for chaos and we want the replacement of the Chaos Twins, just fire Olsen on up top. Like, how bad can it be? It'd be better than putting him in goals anyway. So fire him on up top. That's what I say. And I jest. I don't actually mind Robin Olsen in goals. And Paddy, we've over 1,000 people watching. This is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Thank you so much to everybody.
Welcome.
Look, I think with this team as well, we can admit that there's a lot of surprises in it. And look, we're always glass half full in these team sheet tantrums, for those of you, those new people who are joining us for the first time today. We're always glass half full. Look, we can obviously understand that people would be frustrated or would have their eyes wide open that Bailey, Pau Torres and Tielemans aren't starting today. It's an eye-opener for us with regards to it. But I can see maybe method in the madness here. With regards to this, it's not the first time as well that Unai Emery has changed up the team, specifically when we've got another game on Saturday against Brentford, which, by the way, for anybody who normally watches our team sheet tantrums, I'm going to be doing that from a beer garden somewhere in Kilkenny on Saturday, and it'll be rolling over after the Friday night, so I'm going to start apologizing from now on until Saturday for the potential state that I'm going to be in that one. But yeah, like as I can say, we would have wanted our full team in this game, but it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes. And as we always say, you know, who are we to question with Unai Emery? He's a far better manager than I will ever be anyway, that's for sure. I'm going to take a look at the Man City team. I know a couple of you guys have already been popping things into the chat there as well with regards to the Man City team. The City team is out. One of the overlooked parts about Man City team is that they're going to have Ortega and goals. And that's not Ederson. And I think that's always good news. Obviously, we knew that Ederson wasn't going to make this. But I would have, when Ortega went down against, who was it at the weekend? Against Arsenal at the weekend. And they were nearly ready to bring on Scott Carson. I was like, wouldn't it be great if Ortega was injured and Scott Carson made a return to Villa Park? Albeit, I didn't want it to be a triumphant one. But they lay out is Ortega and goals, Rico Lewis, Akanji, Diaz and Gvardiol, Rodrigo and Bernardo Silva with Doku, Foden and Grealish and Alvarez up top. So everybody who said the De Bruyne and Haaland wouldn't be playing was dead right. They're not there. Haaland is on the bench. De Bruyne is on the bench. Kovacic is on the bench. Stones is on the bench. Sergio Gomez is on the bench. Nunes is on the bench. Oscar Bob is on the bench. And Soho, who I've got to be honest with you, is the first time ever laying eyes on his name ever, is on the bench for them as well. So look, they've rolled the dice and rested players. Yes, they've rolled the dice and they've brought in a World Cup winner in Alvarez. They've brought in a £100 million man in Grealish. They've brought in Gvardiol. I think he might have started. No, he didn't start the last day, I don't think. Gvardiol in there. They've brought in Rico Lewis, somebody who is an England cap as well. You know, so they've got real stars that they can bring in. And that's not to say that we didn't have real stars that we could bring in as well. Colombian international, Italian international, English underage international, young Tim, and then obviously bringing on Diego Carlos, somebody who's plenty of European experience, and Clement Longley as well, who's won La Liga a couple of times with Barcelona. So it's a daunting affair, Paddy. Don't, like, let's not beat around the bush. It's a daunting affair, but sometimes when you've got a team that's as changed up as ours and a team that's as changed up as theirs, there can be exciting situations. And I am looking forward to Duran crashing into Diaz and Akanji for 90 straight minutes today, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how that gets on.
And more than likely putting pressure on Ortega in the goal as well from the high press. We'd like to see that, I suppose. Whether he decides to do it or not's another story. But there's no curtailing the madness of Duran, as far as I'm concerned. So if he sees something, he'll go and do it, which is why he's in that half of the pitch and not playing at centre half. Look, it's I think the playing field is levelled a little bit without Haaland and De Bruyne. They're obviously two of the best players in the world. It's great that they're on the bench and not starting the game. I'm a little bit more enthusiastic about getting something out of the game without them in it, but you can be sure they'll be springing from the bench at a later stage if needs be. And I mean that if needs be. If they're winning the game 2-0, I don't see either of them coming off the bench, because they'll have bigger fish to fry in the coming weeks with Champions League and big games. Not that this isn't a big game, but they're there in reserve, ready to have a go at us if needed. And hopefully it will be needed, because that'll mean that we're well in the game and giving them a right rattle, which we can only hope and pray for. We never seem to get a bit of luck here in this fixture, the away fixture.
Never.
So I'm hoping that finally that's going to come tonight, obviously, for the 1,200 people
watching this.
All my family are Man City fans. So winning tonight will make me very, very happy. And I've really got to go up and get this blue shirt off before the match starts, because I will not be sitting comfortable watching it if that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those 1,200 people, if you've never been here before, do subscribe. Just give us a like on your way out as well this evening. And thank you very much for dropping by on this, it's a miserable Wednesday night here, but hopefully it's not wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree, Paddy. And look, I'm actually going to start off the predictions here, and I'm going to say that I've always been of the opinion that, you know, anything out of this game is a positive. You know, whether it's a point, if it's 3 points, look, there might be no pants in the post-match podcast. There's been a couple of those this year, you know, where the pants have just spontaneously flown off after a great result. I remember the Man City game. I was watching it in my mate's house in Limerick, and he was an Arsenal fan, and we were obviously playing Arsenal the week after, and the two of us were watching it together, and both of us were literally wide-eyed at how well we played on a day where I expected us to maybe sneak a draw, most likely get beaten. Kind of the same feeling I have again tonight. Now, obviously, we had a full strength team that day. But, you know, as you said, Paddy, we did go out and systemically we controlled that game. The biggest player I think that's missing tonight isn't actually Ollie Watkins. I don't think it's Pau Torres as well, albeit I would like to have Pau Torres in. And the reason being, I'm not saying it's Pau Torres, is we've played a bit with Pau Torres this year. The biggest player that's missing for me is John McGinn, because if you go back and you watch the highlights, and you probably will have time to do that, watch the highlights on Villa TV or wherever you can find it on YouTube, of that game, John McGinn ran the show in midfield that day, and he was the outstanding player for me when I watched it back again. So missing him is a massive, massive miss. Huge. I'm going to start off with the score predictions. I'm going to say this is a 1-1 tonight. And I think I think I would shake hands on that now and not play the fixture if we could agree on that.
The one thing that you will get agreement with is that I think it's going to be exactly that as well. I'm going for a 1-1. I think we'll be 1-0 up after an hour, and we'll see Foden, or we'll see Haaland and De Bruyne sprung from the bench to get them away with a point. And you know what? Snap your hand off her, as you said. That's if we can get anything out of this game today, it would be magic. To win it would be absolutely incredible. And I might even break out a can in the post-match if we win this one. So fingers crossed. It's going to be a tough one. But yeah, I'd go for 1-1 as well.
Yeah, well, I will be having a can during the game because I need condition to liver for the weekend that's ahead. So I will be, tonight is first night of training for that. Nigel is saying Olsen in goals updated. No Emmy. Are we joking about that, or is that real?
I bloody hope so.
Because if that
two people have said it.
Oh yeah, Robin Olsen misses out. Emmy misses out through illness. I'm going changing my score prediction.
What?
Emmy's out through illness. Update, Robin Olsen was starting goals for Aston Villa. Emmy misses out through illness. I was just about to finish up the podcast there. Just edit the stage. There it is. Yeah, update. Robin Olsen starts. Emmy out through illness. I wonder who comes onto the bench then. Do you know what? It could be a situation whereby it's so late that we can't bring someone onto the bench. Now we have to go with...
Yeah.
I think that's probably the situation here. But now with Robin Olsen starting, I think we will be lucky to get a 1-1 draw.
I think we'll be lucky to get anything out of this now. And look,
that's a big deflation.
We're talking about an international goalkeeper here, but now it's a
best goalkeeper in the world. We're talking about
what I'm talking about is his replacement. I know he's an international goalkeeper and very respected goalkeeper, but he is not the world's number one. So no. That is bitterly disappointing at this stage. So, look, what can you do? We've just got to roll with it now, and it is what it is. Unfortunate that it was this late, but he obviously has been unwell, and they gave him every opportunity in the warm-up to see if he come through it, and it obviously hasn't worked out that way. So it's going to be a tough one now, and I'm gutted. I'm gutted that he's not there.
Going through my mind at the moment is, I wish I could remember the international game. We were texting through with a mate of ours, Noel Connachton, as well, not to be confused with I can't even remember what the Noel Cunningham. We were watching some international game, and Olsen had an absolute stormer. He would have blocked marbles that day. As Caroline says, someone pray for Noel Connachton. As I say, it's just the fact that and we're not overly, like, as I say, we're not trying to put 2 feet into Robin Olsen. I want him to go and be man of the match today. I want every player to go and be man of the match today for Aston Villa. I'm still excited to watch this game, albeit I am a bit deflated. And the only reason I'm deflated is because I truly believe that Martinez is, if not the best goalkeeper in the world, in the conversation for the top three for sure. And there's no doubt in that. He's a World Cup winner. He's a Golden Glove winner. He's a he's won best goalkeeper in the world FIFA awards, and he is our probably . Of the team that's gone out tonight, he's our best player on that field, and now he's not there. And he's not there with John McGinn, and he's not there with McCamara, he's not there with Ollie Watkins, and so on.
So, Torres, so we're going into this game missing all our best players.
Yeah. And put it this way, I will definitely be breaking up. I'll probably be breaking out the 25-year-old Kilbegan if we win this one later on for the post-match podcast.
I think this has just changed my mind, and I might be joining you in a tipple during the match, because my nerves are just all of a sudden just gone through the floor here, and I'm wondering what the hell.
And you know, for those of you who come to us for your weekly dose of hopium, optimism, copium, whatever kind of drug you feel that we sell here in this podcast, let's think about it this way. I'd prefer Emi Martinez to be out injured today, or to be out ill today, than to be ill on Saturday against Brentford. Because if we follow the logic that we're hoping to get a result tonight, and you know, this one isn't being chalked up into the column where we're going, unless we really need to get a win tonight, but Brentford is. If there was any kind of, like, and we've seen with the rotated team here, if there was any kind of issue with Emi Martinez, you can see why he was pulled just before the game. Now, my biggest thing for me is I'm more interested to see if we can name anybody else on the bench, if one of the travelling party can be named on the bench. But I'm not sure how that works. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was too late and we couldn't. So,
put in that update, there's no update to the bench, and Martinez is still on that team sheet as far as we can see. But I think once you've named your team or named your squad, I don't think you can add anybody else in regardless of injury. You can replace who's on the pitch without losing a substitute, but you can't add somebody else onto the squad as far as I know.
This I have to call it. Look, listen, thank you so much for always coming in and watching as well. IJL 1982, but the conspiracy theory has started that Emery has pulled him because Emi Martinez called him out and rolling over. And if you believe that, don't. Hey, listen, I'm not here to yuck your yum. I'm not here to shit in anyone's parade. I don't think that that's what's happened, but I'm 100% here to be proven wrong with regards to that. And I'm not calling you out or trying to denigrate you in any way. Mm-hmm. If that is the reason, well, then there has to be an investigation into that, or as to what's happened, or has somebody else asked the question on it. And hopefully that's not the case, but if the club say he's ill, then, you know, until anything else different comes out, I think that's what we have to look at, I suppose, really. Yeah.
Do we look at Douglas Luiz or Ezri Konsa now to step up and be the captain on the day?
Ezri Konsa, captain him. Captain that man. That man. I said when Tyrone Mings went down at the start of the year, I actually specifically called out Konsa and said, I don't think he had, I wasn't sure whether he had captain material in him. And I called out John McGinn, and boy, have the two of them proved me wrong. Now, I didn't call it out in fire and brimstone. I just kind of asked the question. And those two guys have rose above everybody else, I think, for me this season. It's probably going to be Douglas Luiz that has the armband, but I would give it to Ezri Konsa. He's on the crest of a wave. He's just after scoring the Puskas winning goal last week. He's after playing for England, which is a boyhood dream of his. Give him the captain's armband and let him puff his chest out even in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. and see what happens, you know. But
James is saying that Gauchi's on the bench. We knew Gauchi was on the bench.
Yeah, Gauchi's in the bench.
Can we add the additional traveller? I don't think he can add the additional traveller once the team sheet goes in. So he's obviously gone down just after the team sheet or the decision has been made. Or maybe there was nobody else to come in.
I think you can, if memory serves me right, recently, or not recently, but like in the last however 10, 12 years, I remember Darren Fletcher getting a dose of the Scots literally after they'd done the warm-up. And he didn't come out, and they were able to name somebody else in the bench. Now, whether that's happened, whether that's that loophole has been changed since, I don't know. But
Well, I suppose there's a few worrying things. Tielemans is not even in the squad. Sure, he's not.
Tielemans is in the squad. Yeah. Oh no, there's no, like, Tielemans is in the squad. So I'll bring up the team again there. This is the team sans Emi Martinez there. So obviously Olsen starts and goals. We've got Tielemans, Pau, Alex Moreno, Chambers, Kessler, Hayden, Bailey and Kellyman. And maybe A and other whoever's, I genuinely can't even think of anybody else who would have been able to travel with the squad, considering that our under 21s played last night. Last night as well, you know, and they were pretty stacked with a lot of the younger players. So I can't even think of anyone who would be able to come onto the bench as well. But Diego Carlos is vice captain. Who are we saying is captain there? Was it named?
Think it's Konsa or Luiz. I don't see anybody else.
Daniel Hobson is dead right. Now we're glad there's two goalkeepers on the bench. For once, it's paid off having two goalkeepers. Once again, you should never question Unai Emery, because he always has the ace up his sleeve for any eventuality. And PSK is our resident ITK. Often fires stuff in there as well. Cryptic, mystic messages with regards to transfers. He says it's a stomach issue for Emmy. Let's see what transpires on that as well. And there he is. He's awake. Connachton is awake. This could be a huge goal difference swing now. Well,
I think I might have to turn off my phone for the evening, Neil.
No offense. I'm going muting that group anyway for the next 2 hours. There's absolutely no way I'm going to be in there.
Noel is going to give us a blow-by-blow account of Olsen's performance.
What I will say is the last time that... last time that Robin Olsen played in goals for Aston Villa against Manchester City, we went 2-0 up on the last day of the season, and we lost 3-2.
Gerard took off Coutinho and cost us the game. Wasn't Robin Olsen anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we have this. He has the same effect today. And as I say, I want, as that post said there, Robin Olsen, man of match, wait and you see. I would absolutely be the happiest man in the Northern Hemisphere if that was to happen.
Even North Connacht is going to be happy with that, Neil. Everyone is going to be happy with that. It's a sucker punch to the stomach here. It feels that way. But look, what can we do? We started off by saying this is a free hit. So if we lose today, we just got to take it on the chin and jog on, because there's bigger fish to fry, as we know. This is one we're not expected to win. So we've just got to look. We can't do anything from where we're sitting, or most of the people in the comments there are not sitting in the stadium. So it's up to us to get behind them and look. It's probably not the best thing to be doing is calling out Robin Olsen, as much as we really want to be sitting with Emi Martinez between the sticks. We have an international goalkeeper at our disposal. As you say, he played very well in that game against Manchester City a couple of years ago. So let's bring it on and fingers crossed we can come out of this unscathed.
As long as they've got the Aston Villa crest on their shirt, look, they're going to get 100% of the ups and downs from me anyway today, you know. But I'll always want every player to do well, and Robin Olsen was no different to that. As are any of the players that have been brought into the squad today, whether it be Zaniolo, Duran, Dina, Young Tim as well. It's going to be a huge game for a lot of those players, you know. So once again, numerous times during the course of this year, we've asked for leaders to stand up. Well, when Tyrone Mings went down, as I mentioned previously, around Christmas time, when things started to turn south very, very temporarily against Manchester United, we looked for leaders to stand up. We came back, we beat Sheffield United 5-0, albeit being Sheffield United, and one of the most, on a day that will stay with me forever, the day that we interviewed Paul McGrath. And, you know, there's been times this season whereby, you know, come at the hour, come at the man has happened. And that has been Zaniolo against West Ham, against what you call him in the Europe, against Sheffield United as well. And did he not come on and stick one in Mostar as well? Yeah, sorry, John McGinn against Mostar as well. So look, this team has a decent set of stones on it. So let's see if we can. And that's no pun in the fact that the other team actually has a stones on it as well. But let's see if we can pull one out of the fire in this one today. And I was going to do a rundown of the scores, but I think I'm going to just leave it. We're going to do the stinchy tantrum without the telecaster scores results there, because number one, we're 32 minutes into this podcast and I have to walk a dog. No euphemism in there, or no double entendre in there. I actually have to go walk my dog before I sit down and watch this game. So I think we're going to leave it at that. Paddy, we've nearly 1,400 people watching this podcast. Amazing. Hello, brilliant. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Or the site formerly named as Twitter. If you do like this and you want to catch us more often, hit the follow us. And also, a lot of the times we just go live on YouTube as well. So you can go over there and follow us on YouTube too. Hit the subscribe button. It costs you nothing to do that there. But appreciate every single one of you that are here. For those of you who are regular listeners, as always, we appreciate your time. For those who are listening in for the first time, really appreciate you too. Time we can never give back to you guys. We can give you bad podcasts. We can give you good podcasts. We can give you drunk podcasts. We can give you podcasts that make no sense, which is 99% of them. But we can never give you back the time that you guys give to us. So I really appreciate that.
And let's not forget, while those 1,355 people are still there, we're doing a live show in Birmingham on the 19th of April. Check our socials and you'll find a link to purchase tickets for that, if you're interested in coming along and having a bit of fun and crack Irish style in Birmingham on the 19th of April. You'll find the two of us there along with some friends. So don't forget that now.
Yapsity.com for the Love of Pomegranate podcast. But we're going to bow out on that, guys. Thank you so much to everybody. Really appreciate your time as always. Look, we'll be back again with a post-match podcast. We could be doing it through our hands like this afterwards, but we will be back and we will chat to you afterwards. And Dave, it could be one of those ones as well. After the Arsenal game, we had one of those. Went on for like 2 hours and I had some fun watching it back, because when I watched it back, I heard some of the things for the first time that I said on that podcast. So as I say, if we win tonight, I can guarantee you it could be a long one in the post-match, and we could be breaking open the Glenlivet, or we could be breaking open the Kilbeggan from the press inside. So we'll see about that. But anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for your time. Rest up. Get your beverages and get your snacks ready for the game. We'll see you back here right on the final whistle, directly after the game. Thank you so much. Here's to an Aston Villa win tonight. Stay safe, stay healthy, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Social Podcast Network.